Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, and that's found on page 22 at the back of your Bibles in the New Testament section. So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Linda. Well, let's just pray as we come to think together about that. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that this morning you would help us to apply it to our own lives, that we may be free from fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as I think you probably know, we are continuing with our series on living free. So far, we have looked at strongholds in general and freedom from anger and passivity in particular. This morning, we come to freedom from fear. Now, to some extent, I think we all know the feeling of being trapped, whether physically or emotionally, and the joy of being set free. I don't know if you remember the BBC journalist Alan Johnston, who was held captive in Gaza for 114 days in 2007. On his release, he said he felt the most unimaginable relief. "It's just the most fantastic thing to be free," he said. "It was an appalling experience, being kidnapped, occasionally quite terrifying, and I didn't know when it was going to end. It became hard to imagine normal life. I dreamed several times of being free, but always woke up in that room. It's incredibly good to be out." Freedom is at the heart of Christianity. Galatians 5, verse 1 tells us, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." That verse reminds us that Jesus has already won the victory for us on the cross. He has already defeated all the powers of sin and evil that spoil our world and our lives. Christ has set us free. But it also reminds us that sometimes, even though we've been set free, we don't make full use of our freedom. We allow bad habits, sinful patterns of behaviour, to stay in our lives, or perhaps to creep back in. Sometimes, when they become really ingrained, what we've called strongholds, we think that they're actually part of our personality. There's nothing we can do about it. We're just an angry person or a natural-born warrior. "No," says St. Paul, "don't settle for that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." A friend of mine in London once took a funeral for a lady who lived on the streets. She used to walk around with a trolley full of plastic bags, asking for money and reacting very aggressively if people refused. My friend didn't really expect anyone to be at the funeral, but there were actually several well-dressed people there. It turned out that several years earlier, the woman had inherited a large fortune, including a luxurious flat and several valuable paintings. She was actually extremely wealthy, but she couldn't bring herself to leave her old lifestyle, her bags of rubbish, so she never enjoyed her inheritance. The sad thing is that there are people today who won't leave their old lifestyle in order to enjoy their inheritance in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And today we've got an opportunity to get rid of some of our bags of rubbish. We've got an opportunity to start living free from fear. So as we turn our attention specifically to fear, there are a couple of preliminary things that I want to mention. As part of the preparation for these sermons, I've been working through some of the worksheets myself, the ones that we did last week and some of the ones that the small groups are doing, and I found them very helpful. Just wanted to mention that because I don't want to give you the impression that just because I'm preaching on fear, I've got it all sorted. That would actually be quite a long way from the truth. We are all on this journey towards freedom together, and we need to help each other. That's what is particularly happening in the small groups. A lot of the small groups are looking at this material in more detail as we go through it on Sundays to be able to help each other to really live free. The second preliminary thing is that I'm going to call this sin fear. I think we often try to downplay fear in our lives by calling it worry or anxiety. But the first step towards freedom, the first R in the model of five R's that we've been using, is to recognize our sin for what it is. So I'm going to name it as fear this morning, and I invite you to do the same. So now, on to our passage in Matthew chapter 14. It's probably a familiar story to many of you. In the early evening, 12 men, some of them experienced fishermen, get into a boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's not a long way, but there's a storm. The wind is against them. The boat is thrown about by big waves. Matthew tells us that Jesus arrives shortly before dawn. That's when the fourth watch of the night is. By then, the disciples have been in the boat, struggling against the storm for most of the night. How do you think that they felt? The passage doesn't say, but they must have been exhausted, cold, wet, probably hungry. But Matthew doesn't tell us about all of that. He focuses on one particular thing that the disciples are feeling: fear. Matthew knows how big a problem fear can be. It's often fear that stops us fulfilling our potential, fear that stops us obeying God, fear that robs us of our joy. So he offers us this story about overcoming fear. Now, some of you might know that "do not fear" is actually the most common command in the Bible. So I had quite a range of passages to choose from in thinking about what to preach from this morning. Now, I've chosen this particular passage because it's very clear about the connection between fear and lack of faith. And I think that's really important for us to get hold of this morning. In our passage, Peter waits for Jesus' command, "Come." Now, that command is what tells us that this passage isn't about extreme sports or doing crazy, dangerous things for the sake of it. It's about discipleship, obeying Jesus, responding to his call. Peter knows that when Jesus asks us to do something, it's not just a suggestion. So he gets down out of the relative security of the boat and does the impossible. All night, he's been struggling against the storm. But now he walks through the storm on the raging sea towards Jesus. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? Imagine the exhilaration. Imagine the excitement. But then we have verse 30. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Now, Peter knew it was windy when he got out of the boat. Of course he did. He's been out in the storm all night. It's as if he suddenly realizes what he's doing. "I'm walking on water, but hold on, that's impossible." He takes his eyes off Jesus and instead focuses on the strength of the wind. He becomes fearful. He starts to sink. And as he reaches out to save him, Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" He identifies Peter's fear with a lack of faith. Fear is the expression in our emotions of unbelief in our hearts and minds. Fear is the expression in our emotions of unbelief in our hearts and minds. That's why we can't get away with just saying, "Oh, well, I can't help the way I feel." Fear is the expression in our emotions of unbelief in our hearts and minds. Now, of course, there is such a thing as a purely natural fear. These last a very short time and are quickly gone. The kind of thing when a parent sees a child running into the road. That's not what I'm talking about today. Most fear has a spiritual energy within it that grips us. That's what we're thinking about this morning. And these fears are rooted in deceit, in the lies of Satan, who paints a picture of life without God's goodness and faithfulness. So when we're thinking about that kind of fear, you could say that behind every fear lurks a lie. If we're fearful about something, or worried, or anxious, the problem is probably not the potential situation. The problem is the lies we believe about God's ability, or rather his perceived inability, to provide for us, to strengthen and equip us for whatever life throws at us. So the opposite of fear is faith. Faith is rooted in truth. God is faithful and reliable. He loves us. He provides for us. He will never leave us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Now, all of us have to choose between living in fear and living in faith. And that's what we are going to do right now. So the worksheets are going to start being passed around. Just like we had worksheets last week on anger, we're going to do a worksheet this week on fear. And we're going to spend about 5 minutes looking at the worksheets to help us to start to recognise where fear has a grip on us. And then I'm going to invite you to pray, choosing to leave fear behind and to replace it with faith. Now, just while the worksheets are coming around, I'm going to talk you through the 5 R's model again. We've been using it for a couple of weeks now, but just as a reminder, there are 5 R's: recognize, repent, receive, rebuke, and replace. They're coming up on the screen behind me. When you get the worksheet, you'll find that on the front cover, there's a little summary about fear, the kind of thing that I've just been talking about. Then inside, there are lots of statements with tick boxes. And the idea is to read through those and to tick any that apply to you. That's the first R. We're using these to help us to recognize where fear has a grip on us, because sometimes we can't really see it. It's hidden. We've become used to it. So when we've done that, we are then going to use the prayers at the bottom of the third sheet. We're going to repent. We're going to say sorry to God for allowing fear to spoil our lives and for not having faith in him. Then we're going to receive God's forgiveness. We're going to remember that whenever we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The fourth R is rebuke. We rebuke Satan, who energizes our fear. We're going to command him to leave us alone. And then the fifth R is replace. We're going to replace fear with faith. That can start today, this morning, but it obviously needs to be an ongoing process. And the most helpful tool for living in faith is the Bible. The Bible tells us the truth about God. So it's like fuel for our faith. We need to read the Bible. We need to choose to believe it. Sometimes it might be helpful to declare it over our situation. Always we need to act upon it, choosing to trust God and to step out boldly. So now I think everybody has a worksheet. So we're going to give about 5 minutes to this. There are also pens and pencils around. Wave your hand if you don't have either a worksheet or some kind of writing implement. There's one over here, Andrew. A couple over here. But otherwise, we'll have 5 minutes just to work through those tick boxes. filling in those tick boxes, the next thing I'm going to ask you to do is to find at the bottom, there's these boxes with prayers which say repent, receive, rebuke, and replace. Can I ask you just to read through what those prayers say? Because we're, in a moment we're going to stand and I'm going to invite you to say those prayers out loud together with me. We'll just read straight through them out loud. But just read through them now so that you know what's coming and you know whether that's something that you are prepared to pray. Now, as with all prayers, it's really important that it's coming from our hearts, but there's also a real power in speaking our prayers out loud. So that's what we're going to do corporately. Now, in the box on repent, we'll miss out the bit in brackets, we won't say that. And you'll see that it says, I ask forgiveness for, and then there's a blank. What we're going to do is say fear. I ask forgiveness for fear. But I would say, just decide in your own mind exactly what it is that you are repenting of this morning. It might be that fear wasn't a particularly big issue for you, and there's only a couple of tick boxes that you've ticked, and you want to hold one of those particularly in your mind as we go through this process, so that you know that that has been dealt with. Or it might be that you've discovered that there's a cluster of them in one of the sections, and you want to hold that section, fear of man or something like that, in your mind as we go through this process, so you know you're repenting of that particular area of fear. Or it might be that you've discovered that actually fear is a huge issue for you, so you want to repent of fear in general, but actually you know that you're going to have to go back and do this in more detail at home or perhaps in your small group and go through specifically all the different things and work out how you're going to replace them with faith. It doesn't matter which of those you're doing, but just choose what you're going to do so that you know what it is that you are repenting of. So we're going to pray out loud through those four steps. We've done the first R, which was recognize, and we're going to go through the other four of those things now. And then Mark and Andy are going to declare the verses of scripture, which are written on this sheet for us, so that we'll hear words of faith, fueling our faith. And then we're going to sing some sung worship. So if you'd like to stand, if the band would also like to get ready, that would be brilliant. So let's pray together. Jesus, I have allowed fear to mark my life and my walk with you. I ask forgiveness for every way fear has affected my life and the lives of those around me. I ask forgiveness for every way I have resisted you, denied your commands, and denied your character due to fear. I ask forgiveness for fear. I see it and call it sin. I now turn in repentance, committing myself to breaking the patterns of fear in my life. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I no longer fear that I am condemned by you, Jesus. I'm washed by your blood, Jesus, and you loved me enough to sacrifice yourself for me. In Jesus' name and authority, I rebuke every spirit of fear and command you to the feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every spirit that was given a foothold in my life due to fear. In the name of Jesus, every deceiving and lying spirit, go to the feet of Jesus. I replace the spirit of fear with the truth of who God is and who he created me to be.